Anyway, 239-1310. 239-1310. This afternoon's name is the start of this school year. Brings a couple of new wrinkles. One of them are charter schools approved not by the mayor of Indianapolis, not by Ball State University, but by a new state of Indiana charter school board that is chartering schools all across the state of Indiana. A number of them won't start until the next school year, the 2013-2014 school year. But some folks out of Arizona, you know, there is good that comes out of Arizona, called Carpe Diem, is a school that found a vacant lot up in the 2200 block of North Meridian Street on the west side of the street. And 8 weeks ago, it was a vacant lot. Today, it is a school with the electricity working, with the roof on. Rick Olson says that roof better work today because he sees that the rain and the dark clouds. And will start for school this coming Monday.
Monday, August 9th.
I believe he's with Carpe Diem. He joins me live. Welcome. Congratulations.
Well, thank you very much. We call it the Miracle on Meridian. And by the way, we have a paved parking lot now also.
You got the parking lot's paved. Everything's ready to go.
Here we are.
First of all, what is Carpe Diem? What, I know it's a middle school and a high school. What is its mission? What kind of charter school is it?
The mission of Carpe Diem is to educate students with knowledge, to empower them with character, and equip them for life. Mm-hmm. And one of the ways we do that is to leverage technology. Between technology and relationships, we're able to provide a more personalized learning for every individual student who comes.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things, you know, on the one hand, more and more traditional schools are integrating technology into what they do. I mean, there's a big controversy at Indiana University because they told the students, we're not giving you regular textbooks, or you don't have to, you know, pay a gazillion dollars for regular textbooks, but you need an e-book reader because your books are online. Several high schools here in the Indianapolis area, predominantly private high schools, have given their students all iPads, and the textbooks are on the iPad. So instead of the kids, you know, carrying around pounds of textbooks, they're carrying around this half an ounce iPad. How does technology work in your instructional plan?
Well, it's interesting because ever since the onset of education, good teachers have tried to individualize and personalize instruction to make it relevant for every student. Mm-hmm. But it's pretty hard to do that at scale. Technology, because of its ability to adapt and understand the learner, actually begins to change the content and change the assessment structures as the students progress through the curriculum. And so it individualizes truly by pace, mm-hmm, and by knowledge level for every student. But there's a lot of controversy that's been around digital learning. Mm-hmm. We have it in Arizona as well. What has changed about Carpe Diem, and we've been doing this for 9 years. We're going on our ninth
year.
And
you started this. This is your idea.
I did, yes. Because I became frustrated with the typical traditional system that was just one size fits all, and that was more of the cohort structure, to where everybody kind of did the same thing at the same time for 4 years or 7 years if, mm-hmm, they're going to middle school, high school. I wanted to individualize it. I had what's called an Ichabod Crane moment, mm-hmm, and that's when you realize that, wow, Ichabod Crane of the 1800s in The Legend of Sleepy Hollow, he would be just as comfortable in our classroom as he was in his own. Mm-hmm. So I begin to really think about, what if you could individualize technology or individualize education and leverage technology in a major way? So what we did is we literally flipped not just the classroom, but we flipped the entire school, mm-hmm, to where the digital curriculum provides the instruction initially for the student, the core constructs, and then teachers, really good teachers, then help drive it home, make it applicable, or they do some remediation and extended learning. It's a great combination of the best of both worlds.
Does it put more responsibility on you because you are the founder? When I go to Carpe Diem's website, I click on About Us, there's your picture, it's you. And so when people in Arizona and the other places where you have schools look at how the students are doing, it reflects on you.
Well, of course, it's going to reflect on me, but it isn't about me. It's, mm-hmm, about students. Mm-hmm. A lot of people want to make it about me. That's why the picture's there. They want some more information. They want to say, who is this dude out of Arizona? But what we find, and even the Fox News, this coming Sunday night at 9 p.m., Fox News is airing a Fixing Schools segment with Juan Williams.
Right.
They came out to Carpe Diem in Arizona and filmed there, and we're going to be spotlighted there because they see us as a solution, that it isn't about Rick Ogden. It is about the new ecosystem of learning that Carpe Diem has created.
You talked about individual. Does this mean, let's just say for the sake of the argument, you got 40 kids who are in the class of 2016. Those would be your entering freshmen, I believe. So each one of them is on a different path in terms of how they learn this beginning year?
Well, we got to admit that when you do cohort learning, which is one size fits all and everybody goes through at the same time, it's really neat and orderly and you can really organize. When you begin to individualize, it gets messy.
Mm-hmm.
But when you start talking about the class of 2016, we don't know who the class of 2016 is going to be because a person could enter our school at sixth grade here and graduate in 2014 because they can speed ahead in certain content areas. They can go deeper in others, and they can actually get high school credits. They can also graduate with an AA degree, not just a high school diploma.
So you're telling me if somebody walks in your school and they're coming from the eighth grade and they're going into what would be, quote unquote, the ninth grade or freshman year, theoretically, based upon their aptitude, their ability, how turned on they get about what they're learning, they could become a senior in 3 years.
Yes,
and not only
could.
Have a senior, a Indiana Core 40 diploma, they could have college credits and an associate's degree on top of that?
Absolutely. Our goal is to for the students who desire to do so is to complete their high school work by 10th grade, and then to work on their college level work to get an AA degree and also to do career internships throughout their career or vocational interests.
We're talking with the founder of Carpe Diem Schools. Their first school in Indiana. They slapped this one up there 8 weeks on the 2200 block of Meridian Street, opens officially for school on Monday. 239-1310. 239-1310. You may have questions about Carpe Diem, what it is all about. We're talking with Rick Oxton with Carpe Diem. Let me go to Bill, who has got a question for him at 239-1310. Hi, Bill. Bill.
Oh, hi, Amos.
Hi, Bill. How are you?
I'm blessed. Hey, Amos, I love this new program. Bill?
Yeah, go ahead. Listen to the phone. Don't turn your radio down. Don't listen to the radio.
Is my radio too loud?
No, you're fine. Go ahead.
Yeah. Hey, I love this. I love this new idea because I graduated from high school in like 2.5 years. And like I was saying, you know, this, you know, I have a lot of nieces and nephews who are going to school. And, like, they want to get out early. And I think, you know, and they always ask me questions like that, how that do it. And this is a perfect thing. I think this is the new thing. I think this will really help, you know, because you got, I would say 90% of the young students, young boys and girls, they want to graduate early.
Mm.
And it's no problem. They want to go to school, you know, and they want something new like this. And I'm all for this. And, you know, I think this is really a blessing. And I'm on my way to work. Okay, you have a blessed day.
All right, you too. 239-1310. 239-1310 is after news and name is. How many students are you going to start out with? Got any idea?
Well, we're looking for somewhere between 150 and 190 students is where we'd like to start. Mm-hmm. And we're capable of educating about 305 students in the building, and we have small schools by design.
So now if somebody is listening, and they're not yet enrolled in a public school. They should have already been enrolled in a public school. But they're not yet enrolled in a public school. You still got room for them
at
Carpe Diem. And this is grades. I know it ends at high school, but what's the starting grade?
Grades 6 through 12. We're
this
a public charter school. It's free.
Mm-hmm.
And we do have room for anyone and everyone who wants to come.
Is there a dress code, uniforms?
We have uniforms, khaki pants and a particular colored shirt with the Carpe Diem logo.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Now you're a middle school and a high school. Are there athletics? Is there going to be like a football? Well, with 150, I don't know whether you can do the football team, but a basketball team, a kickball team, a volleyball team, beach volleyball?
Better. We have a man named Cliff Sellers, who's a former Mr. Indiana, mm-hmm. and he's our fitness coach. And we have a gym with fitness equipment, and part of our mission, again, is to equip for life. So we're teaching kids about nutrition and fitness and how they can graduate not only with degrees, but also with a healthy body.
239-1310, 239-1310's afternoon's name is back to the phones. And James, hi there.
Hey, Amos.
Hi, how are you?
I had a question about the new school.
Yeah.
I went to the project school, and they got shut down after a couple of years. And my question is this school, would that be in jeopardy of closing down? And how would that affect people who were on the early track to graduation?
Wait a minute. Wait, it was like the project school?
No. I'm saying like my son went to the project school. They got shut down after 3 years.
I got it.
And so if people enter this school and they get on the track to graduate early,
mm-hmm.
and what would happen if this school was to get shut down as a non-performance or anything like that?
You know, and Rick Olson, I don't know whether you are aware, we had one of the mayor's charter schools that had you know, some issues and needed to be shut down for academics and financial misperformance. And so there might be in people's minds, you know, hey, these charter schools go start up, you know, what's the guarantee that they'll still be around? And particularly if there's a student that's working on an accelerated track.
Oh, I see the concern there. The difference between Carpe Diem and other new schools that are just starting up is we have going on 9 years that we've been doing this very successfully in Arizona on the border with a varied demographic. And we've never even been close to being challenged in that direction. And so we're going to finish what we started here. Mm-hmm. I'm also on the board for charter schools, the Association for Charter Schools. I'm on the board for that.
Here in Indiana?
In Arizona.
Oh, in Arizona, okay.
And we're for quality schools, mm-hmm. and we strive very hard. And we have leveraged some really good talent and teachers right here to make sure that nothing like that would happen here. So the students that start here, we're going to be here for a very long time. We have 6 charters to build out, and we're going to build every one of them.
6 here in the state?
So in the state, yes.
And so this is the first one?
This is the first of 6.
So everybody's going to be watching. The eyes are on you.
That's right. They are. Well, the nation's on us because even Education Nation, NBC,
mm-hmm.
They're going to be filming in Arizona next week, and they're going to be they're flying me to New York next month. And we're going to be on that live show and
Indiana. Wait a minute. They're going to have you on with Morning Joe and them?
Oh, man, I guess. I don't know who it is. But
want Morning Joe to come and talk, you know, and broadcast from one of our schools here. We're tired of California. I'm tired of seeing New York and New Jersey. I want to see Indiana. I want to see Indianapolis.
Well, Indiana will, and Indianapolis will be well represented by Carpe Diem on Education Nation.
Got a question. Person didn't want to go on the air. How do you handle students with special needs, whether it's hearing needs, whether it's special education, students that would come to you under an individualized education plan?
Technology is wonderful that because there's great things you can do with technology for hearing, for sighted, challenged people. What we have found is that a lot of students that come to us with learning disabilities, in particular IEPs, they really don't have, some of them don't have learning disabilities. They have learning gaps. And when we begin to apply the formula of finding a student where they are, evaluating, assessing them, and then putting them on a track, they close that gap and they begin to be reclassified.
Mm-hmm.
Other students with Asperger's and ADHD, and they do well. They tend to do well in our program because of the flexibility that we offer in our program. So we service special ed needs. We have a special ed person that's going to be dealing with this. But in our school, almost every student has an IEP, literally, because we are putting every student with an individualized and optimized education plan.
In terms of transportation, is transportation provided or it's on the parent? The kid's got to get on, or a kid got to get on Indigo?
It's on the parent.
It's on the parent.
Find a way to get there. Yes, mm-hmm. Indigo or drive there.
Is that one of the reasons you all chose to locate where you locate?
It is. We wanted to be on a main line to where people could find it easy to get here. Transportation systems for charter schools is very challenging to operate. In Arizona, the same thing. We don't get paid for transportation.
Mm-hmm.
It's very expensive. And so what we found is that if we go ahead and provide a quality education that students in a neighborhood like ours, students can walk there, they can do Indigo, and they can ride there with their parents.
You operate in a state where Hispanics are the largest
entity in the state of Arizona. How do you deal with English as a second language?
Another one.
Is that a problem and meeting state standards because of that?
Not at all, because we've been meeting state standards for years, mm-hmm. and we've been exceeding state standards for years. What we found again in our program is because students actually get individual attention, they tend to become proficient within 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
And 1 year is an incredible time frame in which to get students proficient in from Spanish to English or whatever language they're in. We've even had German, and we've had some other people as well.
Let me go to Larry at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi, Amos.
Hi.
I got two questions, really. I would like to know what is your cost? I mean, do you know how much money that you have to spend on a student, how much money you're getting from the state of Indiana, and how much you'll have in your profit column when that's over with? And have you ever had a failure in your school system?
When you say a failure of a school?
A failure of a school because of financial or other reasons, like you didn't get enough people to come to your school, and maybe you had... get 150 and get 100, then is that going to deter your school from opening or change your method in any way?
All right, great question. Rick Olgston?
Augston,
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
We'll get there.
That's all right. Yes. No, we've never had a failure. We have 3 schools and 5 campuses in Arizona. We operate a K-12 system, and we have never had a financial failure of any sort. We are also financed to the point to where even if we didn't make the 150, we can still operate because we don't come in with just a bare bones, oh, no, if we don't make this, we have to close. We've got things covered. We're going to be here, and we're looking for a long, great relationship with Indiana.
The amount of aid that in other words, you're opening this school up with no upfront money from the state of Indiana. Is that correct?
They have some startup money that they do give grants. Once you expend the money, like when we open, we get reimbursed for it.
Is it so? In other words, they didn't give you a check up front.
No.
So your student aid that you will get from the state will be determined A, by your count in the middle of September.
Correct.
And then B, the per student will be based on what IPS's per student is, or the per student rate based upon what districts these kids come from.
It's a both and in that respect. Yes, it depends upon where they live. The first year, they give you a set amount, mm-hmm. and then the next year, it's adjusted according to zip codes and where they actually live.
To go back to Larry's point, what's the difference between what they will give you and the actual cost of educating a student? And do you build in, you know, a profit margin? Is that like 8%, 10%? 50%?
I wish we could get 50%, but that's just not reality in today's educational life. In Arizona and in our current schools, we have a budget of around $5,300 to $5,500 per student mm-hmm. is what it costs. That's nationally known. It's on videos that you can go out there and Google and see that mm-hmm. that's a per cost sans facilities. You add facilities to that, and because facilities is a flexible cost, depends upon how much and how big and whether you're renovating or building new. We anticipate a profit margin. Obviously, we're a nonprofit corporation, so you don't.
You're a nonprofit corporation.
We are a nonprofit. The school is a nonprofit corporation operated by Carpe Diem Indiana, which is a nonprofit corporation. So we don't think in terms of profit. We think in terms of reinvesting into the education of students.
So unlike Imagine Schools and unlike a couple of other operators, you're not a for-profit company.
The school is a nonprofit company. We do have a for-profit management company called Carpe Diem Learning System.
Mm-hmm.
But the schools themselves are nonprofits operated by a Carpe Diem Indiana nonprofit corporation.
Okay. And so if your cost per student, say, is on the high end at $5,500
mm-hmm.
and the state gives you $6,500 a kid, then you've got a grand of wiggle room.
We do, yes. Mm-hmm. And then we use that. We reinvest into the students. We reinvest into the program. We pay
higher. That's not going in somebody's pocket or in fees to the management company.
No, it's a nonprofit organization.
Okay.
The management company itself also, they operate on a percentage basis of the school. What does it take to operate the school? So let's say if it's 10 to 12% of income, net or gross incomes, then the management company has a performance contract.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't to where Carpe Diem Indiana, the nonprofit corporation, say, we don't want you. If and the performance contract is based upon student achievement and financial metrics. If the student achievement levels drop below the proficiency levels and the standards of Carpe Diem schools,
you'd fire Carpe Diem and go get somebody else.
I absolutely would, because as a founder, we've got to protect the brand.
Mm-hmm. 239-1310 to the phones and anonymous. Hi there.
How you doing?
I'm fine.
Okay. I got a question to him. How was he invited here? Was it by the governor, the mayor? How is that process?
That's a great question. How'd you get from Arizona to here?
Well, I would never have imagined it, but it was interesting because your own state superintendent of schools, Dr. Tony Bennett, he was inquiring from Governors Bush and Wise about blended learning and high-performing schools in the nation. They both love Carpe Diem, and they referred Dr. Bennett to Carpe Diem. Dr. Bennett became part of what's called the Chiefs for Change under Governor Bush.
And we're talking Jeb Bush.
Jeb Bush, mm-hmm. Yes, Jeb Bush. And he sent him down to Yuma, Arizona, to where our school was. And when he visited the school, he was so impressed with the students and the instructional model that when he stood at the door to leave, he looked at me and said, Rick, what would it take to get you to Indiana? And I flippantly said, well, you know, give me a charter. And he said, well, we can do that. And he left, and I thought of. I thought it'll never go anywhere. And then the next thing I know, I got a call from the state board, the newly created state board for charter schools, mm-hmm. Claire Fidine Green, and she said she wanted to talk to me about Indiana. Mm-hmm. And so I began talking to her about it, and she began giving me a lot more information. And then I came to visit Indiana because it seemed like it's a state that has done truly significant work in education reform, and we're serious about kids.
When this school opens the door Monday, will you be considered a Title I school, or that takes a while?
The Title I school is – we're going to be a Title I school because we'll have the percentage of students to document that.
Mm-hmm. And so that's based on free and reduced
it's based on
income,
free and
right?
Reduced. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We have the Title I capabilities with our current enrollment, what we're seeing right now.
Mm-hmm.
But we, again, are a free public school to all kids, mm-hmm. Regardless of socioeconomic status.
Let me go to Brenda, 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi, Amos. How are you doing today?
I'm fine.
And welcome to your guest.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
I have some pleasant things to say to you, sir, about you said something that I don't hear educators speak of. I don't hear even legislators or government officials speak of. And what you said was learning disability versus a learning gap.
Yes.
And you reclassify these students based on providing the services that they have been deficit of. In many cases, sir, that does not happen in our traditional public school systems and even our charter schools. What happens is once that child has been tracked in special education, where that is pretty much where that child stays. And I like the idea that you are talking about a learning gap versus a learning disability. And the other issue is you're willing to forego state and federal dollars regarding special needs children. That is something I've not heard of either.
Yes. Well, we really, again, are very student-centered. You hear people saying that, but mm-hmm. In Arizona, where we operate our schools primarily until our national expansion here in Indiana, we have literally foregone special ed and ELL monies because we have made students proficient within 1 year, and you don't get funded for that. And when you reclassify, you don't get funded for that. But if you know anything about special education, it sounds like you do, then you know that a lot of times when students are labeled learning disabled, LD, that it's by the discrepancy model. And the discrepancy really has to do with an information or knowledge gap rather than truly any kind of processing issues that the student may have. Once they get into our school and we assess them on a national assessment and we begin to find out where they are, we place them in a curriculum where they are, whatever grade level or capacity in whatever subject, and then we move them up into the next grade level as we build capacity within the student. And so by the end of the year, often they are able to be reclassified as not learning disabled. They may not be quite at proficiency yet, but they're no longer decidedly disabled. And so they move in, and then the growth is phenomenal. And I believe that's what you need to really evaluate schools on, not necessarily proficiency levels, because a lot of kids are coming under proficiency levels and many grade levels behind. But have you been able to grow a child?
So then what you're talking about really, sir, is children who have been, and I'll just speak truth, intentionally misdiagnosed I'm going to say, to receive those federal dollars, because how can a child be labeled as learning disabled or mentally retarded, and then they come into a school like yours, and you're able to provide that child with the educational services that the child was not getting, and then you can reclassify that child as not being disabled? Well, Amos, are you hearing what he's talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is the whole point that I've been trying to make, Amos. For years, the traditional public school has been labeling our children, and particularly, as learning disabled. So this gentleman has just confirmed many of the things that I have spoke about, Amos. It's a bias against the students and how these children are oftentimes labeled. And just listening to this gentleman speak of what I've already talked about, Amos, confirms that these children are being misidentified. And I hope other parents are listening to what this gentleman is talking about, because this is unheard of. So I thank you, sir, for coming to the show today and to confirming some of the thoughts and experiences that I have dealt with my own journey dealing with special education.
Well, it's my pleasure, and I thank you. Now, there are certainly some students who truly are learning disabled and have special ed needs, and I don't want to impugn the motives or the classification of other schools. I just know from our experience, we have found learning gaps to be serious.
Well, and Rick, I will tell you that Brenda is a watchdog on this issue, and so she's going to be, you know, watching the performance of Carpe Diem this year. And she'll let the community know, you know, whether, because all we can evaluate is, do you under promise and over deliver?
That's correct. And I look forward to it. I welcome the observations. Actually, the nation is watching Indiana right now because mm-hmm. of Carpe Diem.
Okay. You're really putting the pressure on. Thank you, Brenda. 239-1310. 239-1310. So now you start Monday. So if people want more information, or maybe they figure, hey, we need to come check this school out. Maybe we can transfer. It's carpediem.com.
Carpediemmeridian.com.
Carpediemmeridian.com. Can a parent visit the school once it opens to kind of check it out, kick the tires?
Absolutely. 2240 North Meridian and carpediemmeridian.com.
All right, 2240 North Meridian or Carpe Diem.
Meridian.com.
This is the heck. He came up with it.
Yes.
See, you know, some of these other charter schools, and there's very few charter schools where the founder is hands-on involved. At Tinley, the founders are hands-on involved. Crystal House Academy, founders hands-on involved. And even though he's Arizona, he's got frequent flyer miles.
Oh, no, I actually moved here. I have an apartment here.
You
now.
Moved here now.
I did. I am here to make sure this is successful for kids.
Oh, see, now the pressure is going to be on you when it gets to football season.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
thought you were about basketball.
Well, that too. The pressure, because Arizona has a great basketball. Arizona has a great basketball team as well.
I think you had a football player that just left that kind of caused a lot of mourning.
No, we forgot about it. We're into luck now.
Oh, yes,
first, first pass touchdown.
And didn't he do awesome?
Yeah, we don't care about that. Was it who? Denver who? Yeah. Anyway, Rick Hoxton, the founder and the head guy with Carpe Diem. The school opens on Monday, 2240 North Meridian Street.
CarpeDiemSchoolsMeridian.com.
There you go. Thanks very much for being with us. Coming up, the president of City County Council.